Hour number two of the program right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Program note, tune in tonight, 7:30 to 8, live, KDKA-TV. I'll be joined by Charlie Batch, Rich Walsh, Jerry Dulac, and others as we break down this draft. When it's all said and done, the Steelers have three more picks today, 119, 178, 195. I would expect another wide receiver, a defensive lineman along the way. Our number here is 412-928-9370. It's also the number of the Fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township, southhillskia.net. Our show brought to you by number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at cochran.com. All right, a lot of people waiting here. Let's roll with it. We're talking about the Steelers, their draft so far. Mark in Fort Lauderdale joins the conversation right here, right now. What's up, Mark?
I'd like to talk a little Bucko baseball with you, Bob. I want to ask, if you were Bob Ben Charrington sitting on Federal Street tomorrow, I think it's tomorrow, Monday, the latest, they have to make a decision on Grandel. He can only be in the minor league for so long. Are you sending Henry Davis down to Indianapolis to, you know, get a little time to recollect some thoughts and put it together?
Well, my answer would be yes, if they're not going to even use him to bat in situations that call for a clutch hit. And the last two times in this week, they've pinch hit McCutchen for him and Tellez for him, and both have struck out. I'd rather find out what Henry Davis can do, and it would also help me in terms of giving the kid a little confidence boost, as opposed to every time there's a critical situation, I got to pinch hit for him. If that's the case, yes, send him down.
The other question I want to ask you is, do you know when the Pirates are going to name their Hall of Fame, the Pirates Hall of Fame class this year? I'm hoping that Manny Sanguino will get in. He's 79 now and just done so much for Pittsburgh.
Yes,
and Pirates
he has.
I hope so, too.
I don't know when, but Sangi deserves it. And what he's been.
I'd like to see him, John Candelaria, Vernlaw, and Jimmy Leland get in this year. I'd love for those four guys to get in. I think they'll be really good representatives for the Pirates Hall of Fame.
Well, Leland's got his own big-time Hall of Fame coming up this summer, so looking forward to that. Thank you, Mark, for the call. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Tony in North Carolina joins us. And Tony, I don't know who you had in your draft board, but I got to give a shout-out to John Kosciuszko of La Trobe, because he had all four picks right. So congratulations to John, who was once at La Trobe High School, a lot of time spent up there in La Trobe, and 4 for 4 so far. So if you want a lottery number, call John Kosciuszko. Tony, what's up?
Hey, Bob. First of all, I have to congratulate you not only on your knowledge of sports, but on how nice you've always been to your callers.
My pleasure. I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
I have a question, and I'm not being sarcastic, because I've watched football all my life. I'm in my mid-70s. But, you know, there's just so much I don't know, because, you know, you can't learn that much from the pundits or watching TV or live if you don't have somebody telling you what the heck's going on. You know, the Steelers drafted this tackle from Washington. I assume they know what they're doing. You know, he's supposedly really good. Somebody else drafted another lineman from Washington. I have a question, though. You know, Michigan just beat that line up in the national championship game. You know, was Michigan sending players from places that they didn't expect, or were they getting beat one-on-one?
Well, I think game planning and strategizing, you know, how to attack a offense like Washington is, I'm sure, predicated on getting to the quarterback, and they did that against Michael Penix. And I'd have to go back and break down. I just know that Troy Fontano is a guy who was highly thought of. A lot of people may have shied away from him, because if you look at this, guys like Joe Ault, Latham, Fashanu, who else? Fuga, Amarius Mims was a guy that was on the board. All those guys were taken ahead of him, and maybe it was because he was kind of shorter in stature, but he has long arms from what, you know. All I'm telling you what I know of the guy, watching a multitude of games, including that one. But I you know, you're never going to – all I know is that he gave up 2 sacks and 1,231 pass drop back pass opportunities.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good number for
tremendous.
Me.
That's tremendous. And, you know, I hope he's here for a long time as the Steelers are planning.
I think he will be. I think both he and Broderick Jones, you know, money notwithstanding, if that ever becomes a problem. But yeah, you want to have those kind of guys on your offensive line. And then you have a nice middle of it now with Frazier anchoring Sayamalu and Daniels. And that's a good pick, yeah, too, because it was a pick of need. They needed somebody there.
I never thought they'd take Roman Wilson because of his stature, because Waddle is such a goes so heavy for really big football players. But
he is a workhorse, and he covers the sideline to sideline, and he may be the fastest linebacker they've drafted since Ryan Shazier in terms of his 40 speed. So there's a lot injuries. You have to watch out for those because he's had to overcome them. But it says a lot to me about a guy who's overcome these kinds of injuries to get back to that stature of being what he was.
Yeah. No, I was congratulating them on the other Wilson, the wide receiver.
Oh, Roman, yeah. He's a good slot guy. Yeah. I hope he can be effective in that role. Thanks, Tony. Yeah, I appreciate the call from North Carolina. Yes, sir. Let's go out to Randall in East Liberty, who joins us right now on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Randall.
Hey, Bob. It's 11 o'clock in Pittsburgh, and I'm right here with Bob Pompeiani.
First of all, it's 12 o'clock. Wait a minute. No, maybe I'm off here. I don't know what time it is. That's most of my mornings. I don't know what day it is, what time it is, but I just get up and get into the day.
Hey, Bob, you're great. One, Pirates, always blame Bob Nutting for everything that's wrong. Sell the team. You've milked Pittsburgh long enough. So what I want to ask you about the draft, I love it. But when players start sliding, don't you think your game plan should kind of go out the window? Remember 1988, Rod Woodson slid, Ben Roethlisberger slid a bit. So you had at number 20 the number one and number two cornerback, Kenyon Mitchell and Tyrion Arnold. Mm-hmm. Do you think that one day the Steelers may regret if those guys turn out to be all pros?
You know, they may, but I also will tell you, Randall, that you can't pass on the opportunity to get what could be a guy who could be here for many years anchoring one of the tackle spots. They're all equally important, and cornerback has been a bugaboo for the Steelers for a long time. They haven't drafted well when they've been there, and even some of the free agent people they've brought in have been older guys. So JPJ was a good one last year. I thought that was a good pick. They acquired that in a Chicago deal. He looks like – now they need someone opposite him, and they may have to go – because they're running out of picks and they need still more things, they may have to go into free agency. Somebody, an older guy who's sitting up there. I think Andrew Filippone threw out Stephon Gilmore. Now, he's older, but he may be looking for one more opportunity. It could be a good guy. Somebody like that, if they're looking to secure it for one more year, and then you go back into next year's draft and try to find that. But you can't solve all these needs in one fell swoop. I think they're trying to do the best they can. But, yeah, they had a choice. They could have made a cornerback there, but time will tell whether or not that was right or wrong pick.
Hey, Bob, thanks a lot.
All right, Randall, thank you. Appreciate it. Jeff in Acme. Acme, where is Acme? We had Rhinestone earlier. Acme now, Jeff, where are we?
Acme's up towards Seven Springs off of the Donegal Interchange.
Okay, good.
Outside of Mount Pleasant. I'm sorry. About Pittsburgh Pirates, they like to talk about metrics. So since 1999, they've had five people – and the Pittsburgh Pirates
make the All-Star team who are offensive players selected, drafted, and developed or signed by this team. There's something inherently wrong with the way that they do their offensive players, deal with their offensive players, develop their offensive players, and scout their offensive players. It's just that is the lowest number in baseball by six. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about Hall of Famers, just All-Stars.
Right.
So what you were saying before about the Steelers, you got to draft, you got to develop. There's something wrong. If they don't make this change, they can have schemes. They could have four All-Stars on the mound. If you can't get more than 2.3 runs per game, you're going to fail. And they just have to change something. But thank you so much, Bob.
All right, Jeff. Thank you. I totally agree. You've got to support some of these guys. It's like playing defense on football, and you shut your team down, hold them to 12 points, but your offense doesn't score. It wears on your defense, and it would wear on your pitching staff too. If you can't get more run support for these guys, they've. If I look at the and hang on, because I wrote this down somewhere, I got to find with all my papers here. The ERAs of Pirate pitchers right now, collectively, for starters. Hold on a minute, I'll find it because it comes off of last night where Quinn Priester six shutout innings, and then they get to the ninth, it's scoreless, and they can't get a run with the bases loaded and one out. Marco Gonzalez, before he was injured, sub 3. Jared Jones has been outstanding. 279. Bailey Falter, even after one bad outing where he first five hitters got on, 3.33. That counts that. Since then, it's been under two. Martin Perez, 3.45, and Keller has been the odd man with 480. But, you know, my point is you need, absolutely, you need some run support. Henry Davis was supposed to be that guy, and if he's not capable of doing it, send him down, let him work on it. I'm not giving up on the guy, but I think it sounds like the Pirates in critical situations aren't convinced he can get the job done. When you pinch hit Rowdy Tellez for your number one overall pick, that sends a message. When you pitch in an older Andrew McCutchen for your number one pick, that sends a message. Both of them failed. I would have liked to have gotten Henry Davis that chance. Ke'Bryan Hayes, another guy, to point to your observation. Now, last year we thought maybe he was coming on a little bit. He still has no home runs. He's getting on base, fine. But for a hot corner dude, you better hit home runs. They don't have many home runs. Who else have they developed in the hitting? Jack Sawinski's just what he is. He's struggling at the plate. He can give you some power, but that's about it. They need the guys like Gonzalez down in the minors to get up here and translate that and make it work up here. Cruz has struggled a little bit this year. They got to get better in that regard, or it doesn't matter what their pitching is, and you're right. Frustration could settle in. Ed in the car joins us right now, and he wants to switch it up, talk some hockey. What's up, Ed?
Hey, Bob. I read this morning that Mike Sullivan is interested to go and coach the New Jersey Devils. They have a younger team.
Where did you read that?
Well, I apologize for not knowing the details on it. I get a bunch of stuff that pops up on my screen.
Don't believe everything you read. Don't believe everything you read.
I understand that. Although it could be sending a message to Dubas about, yeah, you need to get younger.
No, I don't think he'd do that. I don't think he would ever talk about it. I think those two guys have, been together, and I would be shocked if there was any sort of quote or anything like that that would support that. I think Sullivan likes what he – I agree. He needs to get younger. I agree. They know that. But they've chosen a path that they can't get out from right now, Ed. That's the problem. They chose that path thinking that they could find guys to complement some of their big three or four, depending on who you include in that. And that has not happened. And they have to do it. They have to get better at it. They have to figure out ways to get rid of some of this salary stuff they're stuck with. And it's not going to be the guys you would expect at the top. It's going to have to be other guys. And it may be Tristan Jarry if someone could take that contract away from you. Who knows? But they got to do that, whether it's bringing in free agents who are younger and better or drafting people who can get up here quickly. I'm hoping to see Jaeger next year crack a spot. Sam Poulin was brought up this year. You know, he's been a disappointment. It's taken him way too long. You know what I'm saying? Those guys have to – if you don't get support from within your system, then where are you going to get it?
Thank you, Bob.
All right, thank you, Ed. Appreciate the call. Hockey playoffs have been a disaster so far. Not very interesting for me to watch at all. And I like hockey playoffs. I've watched them. And Carolina's just too good for the Islanders. The Rangers, the Penguins would have been a better opposition for the Rangers. It would have been much better in terms of television watching and games. It's not a good series. Boston-Toronto may be the best series going, but I think Boston just has their number. And then you look at some of the ones out west. They're just not, tonight I'm going to be anxious to watch Vegas and Dallas, Joel. Because I think Dallas has a better team, but Vegas somehow, some way is putting it together. Logan Thompson in goal has been terrific, and they've been smothering Dallas with guys like Jack Eichel taking a prominent role. And then, of course, the Edmonton Oilers beat the Kings last night. They're going to win that series. Colorado-Winnipeg surprises me because Winnipeg won game one, and the Avalanche have bounced back, and they've been really good with their offense, 6 goals last night. So NBA, you like talking about the NBA, don't you? So LA has lost like 12 in a row to Denver.
It's wild.
They can't beat that team, and the reason is because they don't play the way the Nuggets play. Nuggets are down 20 the other day, and you knew that there was going to be a comeback. I didn't think they'd be able to win, but they did. They got to be defeated, LA. What do you do to try to offset what Denver has?
I've got no clue.
No clue. You put the white flag up and you surrender. That's what's going to happen. It'll be a 4-game sweep. I didn't think that. I thought LA would be in 1 game. Suns stink. They over brought in names, and it doesn't matter. Durant's not the same player. Bradley Beal didn't do a thing for them.
They got rid of a lot of their depth pieces, which are proving that critical that they kind of needed those guys for the playoffs, if your big three ain't getting going.
And then you have Indiana beating Milwaukee now. They're up in that. I'd like to see for T.J. McConnell a chance to get deep into the playoff run.
That would be super cool.
He didn't win sixth man of the year, but I thought he should have. I thought he was that good. Anyway, we're due for a break. Call. Boards are wide open right now. I try to get through as many as I can. There are more opportunities for you to sound off at 412-928-9370. Thank you to number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. PNC Bank. Ireland Contracting. When you need a roof, go to them. And join us on the Ireland Contracting Sports Call every night on KDK Plus and 93.7 The Fan right here. And also Iron Rock Tap House, Shenderovich, and Fishman, all good sponsors of the program. We appreciate your support, and I appreciate you calling. Lines are open for you at 412-928-9370. I'll be on the air until 1, and then it's Matty Cole, Folsy, Nene. He's got multiple personalities. He'll be in the studio here for 4 hours. You can call him at 412-928-9370. Due for a break, due for Joel Nelson headline right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back as we roll along here, 412-928-9370. Got a reminder, tonight, 7:30 p.m. on KDK-TV, we have a draft recap. Charlie Batcher joined me, as well as Rich Walsh and Jerry Dulag and others. We'll talk about what the Steelers have done over 3 days, and day three is underway, and there are how many picks away? Like 13 picks away or less than that? For their fourth round pick, and they have 3 picks today. Joel Nelson is taking your calls at 412-928-9370. I got a bunch of reaction here about the Pirates. Big D, Tigerberg on Twitter, it's at KD Pompey, says Rowdy Tellez shouldn't even be on this team. Well, again, they bring these guys in for 1 year, Carlos Santana before him, Vogelbach before him. It's all the same kind of guys, you know. Give it to go out and spend some money. EJM says Bednar's overweight. Get in shape. Maybe that's his problem. Well, listen, his arm is all I care about, and his arm is still pretty good. He has a location problem last night with a walk, although I thought he got squeezed at the plate on what would have been a strike three call. But still, that ninth inning went walk, single, wild pitch, 3-run home run, game over. And Chapman wasn't much better. He's one of the worst when it comes to walks per 9 innings in baseball. He's got to get that under control. All right, back to the lines. Joe and Butler. Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Well, Bob, you sort of stole my thunder. Why didn't the Pirates go after that first baseman that Milwaukee signed? And also, nobody ever mentions this, but why don't the Pirates try to sign Skeens and Jones the same way Milwaukee did with their that rookie outfielder? Like signing
Yeah, Churio. They gave Churio a whole bunch of money. Right. He's only 20 years old.
Right. Again, that way,
I wouldn't have a problem with that, but I also would like to see some hitters have this kind of opportunity. They don't have anyone in their system worth signing right now. Hitting, I'm talking about.
Right.
Pitching, you may make that argument, but I also know that you're also going to get guys who get injured. One of the tough things to do, I think, is give an 8-year contract to a pitcher right now. Just because there's too much injury potential there. I think there's less of it with a guy like Churio or anybody who falls into the hitting category. There's always risk, but you minimize it. If he's what you think he is, you can save some money down the road, for sure.
Yeah, they're minor leagues, too, like Altoona and Bradenton. They're almost all their starting lineup is hitting under 200. They got to do something with the hitting coaches.
Yeah, I mean, you need better production. They're expecting Tamar Johnson one day to come up here and be a really good player. Nick Gonzalez, how long is it going to take? He's hitting now, but he's hit before in the minors. He gets up here, and that changes. But if you're going to do it, you need to just give him a bigger opportunity, a bigger sample size than just a week or two, and then, you know, send him back down. And I'm glad that Triolo's getting a chance. You know, he's good defensively. I think there's more potential for offense there. But other than that, they need Cruz to wake up, play better, you know, stroke the ball better. Suwinski's not doing it on a consistent basis. Combine Tellez along with Hayes and Henry Davis have one home run combined. That's it.
Are they going to give Bart a chance to be the regular catcher?
I think no. I think Grandal will be it when he's healthy, and that should be soon. And Bart will be here as a backup. He's done well when he's gotten a chance. You know, 3 home runs speaks to that in limited play. I think that'll give him an opportunity to send Davis down, because if you don't bat for Davis in clutch situations, then what's the point of having him up here? Let him work on it down there. Take some pressure off of him.
Yeah, I wish the Pirates, instead of signing three or four bargain basement free agents every winter, go after one guy that you think can make a difference.
Yes, thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. I've been saying that for years. Instead of, you know, all of a sudden a $3 million here, a $4 million here, a $6 million here, a $4 million, you know, by the end of the year, you're spending $20 million on nothing. I'd rather have that go to one person who can make a significant difference in my team. But they choose not to do that because, again, it would be a lot easier if you developed from within and you didn't have to do this every year. But by not getting the results of people in your own organization, you have to be forced to do it. All right, let's go to AJ, Natrona Heights, the next destination here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. What's up, AJ?
Bob, good day to you.
Good
How
day.
Are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. This time last year, I was real excited about the pick late rounds of Corey Trice. Obviously, he sustained that injury in camp. Big. They also signed Darius Rush, also 6'2", Trice 6'3". I know they got Dante Jackson. The fact that they didn't draft a corner high here, do you perhaps believe that they have high hopes for Trice and Rush to really fortify that backfield?
Well, I think they have hopes for Corey Trice. I don't know about Rush so much. He was brought in kind of in the midstream last year. I think Trice, they really liked him when he drafted. It's unfortunate that he had the injury when he did and missed the entire season. Now, if he could be the guy that steps up and plays to what I think he's capable of, again, that's a wild card at this point. I think you have to but if they believe that, then it may lessen their need, and maybe that's why they didn't react in the first round to go cornerback when they had a couple on the table who were pretty good.
I can only think that's influenced.
Hey, Dante Jackson, I'll say this about him. When he's been healthy, he's had some injuries, he's been a pretty reliable guy, so... I see also that Jerry Dulac reported that they've brought in Cam Sutton for a visit. I'm a little bit surprised by that, given all the off-season problems he has had. I don't know what that would be like after Detroit got rid of him immediately.
I know, and it was a bad charge, but was he not released from all of that? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know where that stands. Joel, do you know? No, Detroit got rid of him, but yeah, I'm talking about the actual legal. I don't know. I haven't followed up on that, so I should and I will. Thanks, AJ. Appreciate that. At 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Ken in North Carolina. What's up, Ken?
Bob, how are you today?
I'm good.
I listen to you every week while I'm working in the yard and cutting my grass.
Well, I hope it makes it easier for you, but to me, that's therapeutic. I like going out there doing the same exact thing.
So, the Pirates. We have these guys, they come up to the majors. When they're in the minors, they're hitting 280 or so. As soon as they come up to the majors, they hit 180. And I realize that major league pitching is more than minor league pitching. I mean, I get it. But my concern is that the Pirates are imposing a hitting philosophy on these young guys when that hitting philosophy may be more applicable to better veteran hitters. And so they come up here and they struggle. All we hear about is, well, they took the pitcher deep into the pitch count. Like, I just want these guys to get a pitch and hit it.
Yeah, I think their plate awareness generally is not good at all. And I think it has to be better. You have to work counts. You have to be patient. You have to know what you're doing up there. And a lot of times when you start swinging at stuff that you shouldn't, you fall behind. And then you're caught looking at stuff that you should be swinging at. So, yeah, the bottom line is, and thanks for the call, Ken, they just do not have enough quality at their minor league system at this point, and whatever quality they do have is not being coached in the right direction. That's the only conclusion I can make on this. Why doesn't it work this way? When you get high-end picks, man, you expect them to be up here in a shorter amount of time and contributing. You don't have to be an all-star, but you have to be a regular. Okay, Ke'Bryan Hayes, it took him a long time. He's finally here, and you know what he is. He's a very good defensive player, but I expected more from his offense, especially after what happened at the second half of last year. It's just not happening. He's hitting the ball, but you need power from those positions too. Sawinski's just a hit-or-miss kind of guy. Reynolds has proven right now to just be average, and he gave him a lot of money, and that's fine, but he needs to turn it on. He needs to make good on situations like we saw last night. Bases loaded, one out in the ninth, and he ends in a double play, and set the stage for San Francisco win. Bill in Canonsburg. Hello, Bill. How are you today?
Hey, Pomp. Nice to talk to you.
You too.
I get so tongue-tied and frustrated talking about this Pirate offense.
All right, let's not then. What else do you want to talk about?
Now I want to talk about them because I want to ask you about somebody that I don't hear anything about. But, you know, about a week or so ago, you had five starters batting below the Mendoza line or right at it. You got, and I know Gonzalez right now is hitting over 400 in the minors. But have you heard anything about this Lamb guy that was the last?
Yeah, he's kind of a veteran. He's been around. I would bring him up right now. Why wouldn't you?
He's batting over 400.
Yeah, and he has experience. He has experience. You know, Roddy Tellez did nothing for me when they signed him, and I didn't expect much, and I'm getting my wish, I guess, which is not good.
I hope the leash is getting short on Tellez because he adds nothing here, and I would have liked to seen them let Henry bat last night.
Yes.
Yeah, what are you accomplishing by putting Tellez in there and waving at three pitches?
No, three pitches, you're out. And I don't. Yeah, you can tell me it's a critical situation, you're trying to get a run, sure. But you also have a guy who you endorsed as your number one overall pick, and he's up playing for you, and you choose to pinch hit for him twice in the same week. That's not a good look. It doesn't help him. It doesn't help them. They don't have a bench that they can consistently rely upon. They don't. So let him go. No, you know, they did that with Jared Jones finally, an opportunity the other day when he was struggling in the sixth inning of a game. He was pitching very well, and he got himself out of it. Quinn Priester last night had a situation in the sixth inning where he was in a little bit of trouble. They let him pitch out of it. Sooner or later, you got to let guys work their way out of these situations, and if you don't, then don't have them up here. Send them down.
Send them down and bring Grandal up, and when you do that, bring Gonzalez and Lamb up for 10 games and let them play. I mean, you're five games out. Pretty soon you're going to be double digits out, and you're going to ruin the summer. Oh, well,
thanks.
All right,
thanks,
Bob.
Bill. I hate to see people get depressed when they call. Steven Latrobe. Steve, you're up. Go ahead.
Hey, Pomp, what's going on, buddy?
Thanks for calling, man. Nothing.
Well, I'm in the parking lot getting ready to go, so I appreciate the time. But what I find is ironic is, you know, before the season, everybody, fans, everybody alike thought, oh, boy, our starting pitching, it's in trouble. It's going to be weak, and our bullpen's going to be ironclad lockdown. And we're hitting all these home runs in wind-assisted Florida thinking, oh, we're going to score all these runs. And then, you know, we're 4-12 or 4-13 in our, you know, since we started 9-2. And it's been the total flip of the script.
Yeah,
I mean, the starting pitching's great. The bullpen's been a huge disappointment, and we can't seem to put the bat on the ball.
No, I thought I didn't expect the bats to be what they were in spring training. They were hitting a lot of home runs off pitchers who were just out there.
Yeah, trip way far.
I get that. But I did expect it to be better from guys like Reynolds, Sawinski, Hayes. I expected better things from Henry Davis. None of this stuff has worked out so far. That's not to say that by the end of the year it can't. I'm saying you're right. Absolutely. The pitching has given you opportunities. I said of their team ERA right now, it's better than a lot of teams. But their bullpen has failed them at the end of it. Not so much middle relief, but to the end. Chapman and Bednar have not been good. And they're hitting. They are second in the majors and leaving men on base. You can't have that. You're getting guys on. You got to come up with clutch hits at times. And if you don't, then it ain't going to work. And, Steve, thanks for the call. I'm up against the break. I hope you have a good afternoon. Thanks for calling me here. It's 412-928-9370. Thank you to PNC Bank, number one Cochran, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. We have more on the way until 1 o'clock, and then Matt Cole for 4 hours. You can call him and talk to Nene Joe, one of 16 different personality traits he gave. I miss Matt. I'm going to be happy to see him. Anyway, give us a call here at 412-928-9370. Your thoughts on the Steelers, the Pirates. The Steelers are number 119. They got 8 pitches to go before they get their next pick, and I hope it's a wide receiver still. They need more help there. We'll be back with more right after this on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, we're back. We have the weather forecast coming at you at the end. You're going to like it if you like hot weather because it's going to change in that direction. Also, here's an interesting stat. I wanted to throw this out because I think it's kind of the stat of the week for me anyway. And that would be this. Scotty Scheffler Scatty has made more this year than Rory McIlroy has made. Think about that again. Scotty Scheffler's caddy has made more than Rory McIlroy has made. That tells you a lot. Rory's still struggling to win. And Scheffler's been on fire, and he would be the fire heading into the PGA Championship. So there's a lot going on there in the golf world, and he has been unbelievably good and consistent at what he's been able to do. The big news here today, we're waiting on the Steelers' 119th overall pick. They're on number 114 so far. You would expect wide receiver, maybe defensive line. This after the first day of the draft, which saw 14 straight selections to start all offensive side of the ball. That sets a record. Most consecutive offensive players chosen to begin. The previous record was 7, so they doubled that. And then 6 quarterbacks taken in the first 12. And you know what the Steelers have done, which I think has been terrific? They've addressed needs with good fits and better value at each of those spots. We'll see what they do today. 412-928-9370, Joseph in Mount Oliver. What's up, Joseph?
Okay, thank you. I always like your show, Bob.
Thank you.
Please tell somebody in management to give the baseball scores. There's 30 teams. I mean, I'd love that. But as far as Henry, I think he's a good catcher. Let's decide whether we want him to be a good catcher or Yogi Berra his rookie season. All right, he got an excellent arm. I just want to know how many wild pitches have been thrown when he's catching. Okay, and he catches foul tips, which is good. All right. Now, as far as David, he blew 5 games, okay? And Chapman's not pitching. Why don't they just start him 1-2? Just start him in a game. David, Chapman, David.
Well, I'm not going to do that, Joseph.
Pitcher to go 6 innings. Now they get that superstar in the minor leagues. Can he pitch 3 innings?
Yeah, well, he's eventually they're working their way up. Thanks for the call, Joe.
Know when to come to the game to see him if they want to see him.
They're going
to
see. You're going to see him eventually. I appreciate your call, but listen, Henry Davis. Here are the options for me. When Grandal gets back, you send him to the minors only because they're not willing to give him key at-bats and key situations. He needs a little confidence boost. There's no question about that. He's struggling. He's doing a pretty good job behind the plate, which is encouraging. But if you're not going to give him that chance and you're going to pinch hit for him in those situations, then he's better off going to the minors and working on his offense because you have now Joey Bart behind Grandal. If not, then you stick him back in the outfield. But the question is where. You could make cases that he deserves to play to try to get his bat going, or you can put him at DH if that's the case as well, because they've been struggling with a consistent DH. So those are the options. I tend to think they'll send him down when Grandal is ready just to work on the offense. And again, there have been a lot of guys who have been sent down before and have come back and done well. I'm not going to rule this a bust like a lot of people want to quickly do after just a couple of years. Let's go out to Noah in Birmingham. Hey, Noah, what's up?
Bob, it's your friend from Center Township. I'm on the road. I'm in an airport, and I decided to call the fan today. How you doing?
You're the man. I appreciate that, Noah. Thank you.
Hey, anytime. I like to get it out globally, you know, not just in the local Pittsburgh area. But I was watching the game last night, and it was a head scratcher to see Joey Bart go into the game, but not pinch hit, and they bring Rowdy Tellezin, who's obviously been struggling, and Bart just had a hot bat.
It was just lefty righty. That's all.
I know, but still, it's just. I think that, you know, Bart has made more contact. We had a chance to win the game last night. We blew it. But, again, it's just it struggles. It seems with Andy Haynes, we're struggling hitting. We don't have a consistent DH. And I agree with 100% of what you said. Henry Davis needs to be sent down to work on his offense because Joey Bart's playing well enough. And when Grandal comes back, he could be a steady until Davis gets right. So thanks. Yep. Thanks for taking my call, and have a great day, Bob.
All right, Noah, thank you for doing it. I appreciate it. I like your thought about making it global. I get a lot of calls from a lot of different places, which I appreciate, man. And this is a two-way street. I've always regarded it as that. You have opinions. I do. Let's talk, whatever it may be. But I think most people do agree that the Steelers have done a pretty good job filling needs with good players who have production on their side. And they're also valued because it seems to me, all of them, based on scouts, had them projected to go higher than where the Steelers got them. So that's encouraging. But again, we'll see how it goes. Last year was Broderick Jones first round, Joey Porter Jr. second. This year it's Troy Fontanu and then Zach Frazier, 2 offensive linemen. So 3 of the top 4 number 1 and 2 picks have been offensive linemen. They needed that to happen. And we'll see what it takes them. Hopefully a good run game could lead to some opportunities down the field. They've done a lot of work with changing this roster around. It's going to be interesting at training camp to see Russell Wilson, Justin Fields and company, and how they do. And also, how much preseason activity do you get a veteran like Russell Wilson? I think he needs it because it's a new system. But he's also a guy who's been around for a long time. You don't want to put him out there all the time. But that'll be a different dimension to what we see in training camp in Latrobe. Pirates coming up here later tonight. That's a 9:05 game, and we'll preview it with the North Shore Tavern leadoff show prior to that. But coming up next, it's Matty Cole. That's right. Folsy, Nene, Lounge Lizard. What up? He called him a lot of different names there. I'm not sure which one will stick, but he's going to be here for 4 hours, so give him a call at 412-928-9370. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com. Spring is here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevy. Today, cloudy, couple of showers, mainly early today, and it should be good the rest of the day. High of 77 tonight, warm 61, and we've got an 85 by Tuesday. That's your fan weather. We got a special coming up tonight, 7:30 KDK. Be sure to join us for that as we break down the Steelers draft and what we think of it. Charlie Batch will join me, Rich Walsh, Jerry Dulac. We got a lot of stuff going on there. That's tonight, 7:30 on KDK. Tomorrow, 11:30 p.m., it's the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. Ray Fittipaldo will be on, along with Chris Adamski and Jeff Hathorn right here from The Fan, as we break down the Steelers and some other stuff as well. So it's a busy weekend. As always, I appreciate you calling and taking the time to do so. Appreciate Joel Nelson over there behind the glass, always doing his great stuff. And again, Matt Cole coming up here for the next 4 hours. And I'll chat with you on Monday during the Joe Show. And so far, we've been good. We've not allowed Joe to get on. If he's tried, Joel, if you know, he's going to try to do something to get on this program with an alias. And I don't want to have it happen again because he's done it too many times at my expense. That's the challenge. 412-928-9370. Cole coming up next. I'm Bob Pompeiani. Have a great weekend right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.